Tired of all the bugs in your yard? Enjoy your backyard again with Cutter Backyard Ready to Spray Bug Control at Menards. It kills mosquitoes, fleas, ticks, and other insects fast, controlling them for up to 12 weeks. A 32-ounce Ready to Spray container covers up to 5,000 square feet and is on sale now through July 13th. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Today on The Grave Talks, The Ghosts of the Bridgewater Triangle, a conversation with author Christopher Balzano. For years, residents along the Massachusetts-Rhode Island border have whispered about the mysteries of the Bridgewater Triangle. From ghostly apparitions to UFO sightings and even whispers of a Bigfoot-like creature, legends abound regarding the Bridgewater Triangle's array of unexplained phenomena. While the Bermuda Triangle may claim fame for vanishing ships and aircraft, this mysterious triangle exists within the heart of the United States. The Bridgewater Triangle is a sinister expanse in southeastern Massachusetts, and it continues to fascinate those who encounter its mysteries. Today on The Grave Talks, The Bridgewater Triangle, a conversation with Christopher Balzano, author of The Ghosts of the Bridgewater Triangle and Dark Woods, Cults, Crime, and the Paranormal in the Freetown State Forest. Well, Chris, thank you so much for joining me again. You were on the Grave Talks a while back, and we talked about haunted objects. You'd written a book, Haunted Objects, Stories of Ghosts on Your Shelf, and that's the name of the episode. It was Ghosts on Your Shelf. That night, we got to, I think you mentioned the Bridgewater Triangle. I'm like, what is this Bridgewater Triangle thing that you speak of? So I said, maybe you could come back and we could talk about it. And you wrote one book, The Ghosts of the Bridgewater Triangle. And there's a second book that seems to me, I did not read it, but seems like it is also about the Bridgewater Triangle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so, called Dark Woods.
Yes.
Cult, Crime, and the Paranormal in the Freetown State Forest. That's actually not the first book I wrote, but officially the first book that was released.
Okay.
It was this really weird thing where I'd written three books over the course of 3 years. And Schiffer Publishing... they were the quickest because they, you know, pretty much if you're your audience knows Schiffer Books. They were very, very popular in the early 2000s. And they just put out a ton of ghost books. Everything was like, what street do you live on? Okay, you want to write a ghost book about that street? Go ahead. They published Dark Woods, and they beat the other two actually to be being published. So Dark Woods is, if there's one book that I wish I could go back and redo, and I'm not just talking about the grammar, but also, you know, the exploring that question in even more depth, because it is, you know, it's the Bridgewater Triangle is what I probably became known for the most. And Freetown, Massachusetts is one of the apexes of that triangle. And I became obsessed with Freetown as kind of the perfect example of everything that's going on. Like a microcosm of the Bridgewater Triangle was in this small little town in Massachusetts that no one who doesn't live in Massachusetts, unless, you know, they're fans of me, so they're not that many, don't know this town exists. And yet it is such a hot point and a hot spot for everything paranormal.
So explain the Bridgewater Triangle geographically, kind of where it is, square miles, if you know.
Yeah, and the important thing to know is that when cryptozoologist Lorne Coleman started talking about it in the late 70s, and then he published Mysterious America, and it was the first time, like, you know, in print for everybody, this term Bridgewater Triangle was out there. When he established it between Freetown, which I already said, the town of Rehoboth, Massachusetts, and then Abington is the one place that, like, I've never been in the triangle, as these apexes, right? He established it as a template. And so what happened was, is as he was doing his research, he was finding that there was a ton of unexplained things going on that fell into the realm of what he was doing as a cryptozoologist and in the towns of Bridgewater, East Bridgewater and West Bridgewater. And as he started kind of moving it out, he realized that if he extended from those towns, these other towns that fall on these lines were having the same kind of weird stuff going on. And so he created this area. It's in Southeast Massachusetts. When you think Abington, think Plymouth. When you think of Freetown, think Fall River. So, you know, Lizzie Borden and all that kind of good stuff, and Rhode Island. And then think, you know, if you're thinking Rehoboth, think Connecticut. And there's your triangle. In the very center of it, which is the obsession of a lot of people because it's, once again, so rich, is a place known as the Hockomock Swamp. And that is really the focus of a lot of the cryptid activity, UFO activity, some ghostly stories, but much more kind of that's the heart of the cryptozoology facet of the triangle. And, you know, within these borders, and they move, they extend. They're not hardcore. Like it was a template he was creating. You find anything that you're looking for inside the paranormal.
I found, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I found that so interesting because within this triangle, and it sounds like a little ways out of the triangle in that area, it's everything from the cryptids to the ghosts to UFOs to all of these things happen there.
Yeah. And the other thing, which I think is what makes it so, which makes it connect with so many people, is if you are looking for, if you go into the paranormal, the supernatural with a mindset of, you know, what causes it, you're going to find it in the Bridgewater Triangle too, right? So supposedly ley lines are there. You've got all of these rock formations. If you're a stone recording person, if you think it has to do with history and things like that, you have a lot of bloody history that happened in that area as well. So whatever your approach is to the paranormal, you're also going to find it there. So it's, you know, it's a really great treasure trove of all this stuff, because, you know, if you're the kind of person who thinks, like, I'm going to approach this from a very scientific try to explain it that way, you're going to find that there, right? And if you're a spiritual person, you're going to say, well, a place like Freetown, like people have been conducting all types of spell casting in the forest for, you know, hundreds of years. You're going to find that there. So, you know, it's a playground for people who enjoy the weird and unusual, because it's not only there, but the explanations are as well.
Do you have some theories, and I'm emphasizing the S on the end of theories, about what could cause all that activity and that kind of diverse activity?
So it's over the years I've changed it, right? And over the years, my approach to the supernatural and the paranormal has changed too. And the more you look, the more it changes, and the more it taunts you. Bridgewater Triangle taunts you, and it marks you, and it does all these things. And so the only comparable description of it is it's a living, breathing thing.
Mm.
You know, the Bridgewater Triangle is not one thing, and it's not vortexes. You know, like, that's a great explanation for the type of stuff, and I think that kind of stuff goes on in the triangle. And it's not curses, although I think those things go on in the triangle. I think it's the belly of something. It truly is a living, breathing thing, because when you look at it, and the people who do look at it, they're marked. You know, this isn't, and there are people who investigate all the time in there, right? But they don't live and breathe the triangle, right? They don't, they haven't devoted themselves. That's probably the best word. I'll give you a great example. Jeff Belanger, right?
Mm-hmm.
One of my best friends. He is considered in the media to be like one of the experts on the Bridgewater Triangle. He's in the documentary with me and all this stuff like that. But Jeff is a reporter, right? He goes in, talks about these things, does more research than the person next to him, right? Brilliant guy. Do you know who Jeff Belanger is? Right? Do you know he invented,
yeah,
Ghost Village? He created Ghost Village. Right. So he does stuff in the Bridgewater Triangle, and he moves on to something else, right? And when he's called upon to talk about the Bridgewater Triangle, he comes, right? Talks about it. He goes on and he does the next thing that he's working on. Those of us who really devoted ourselves to asking those questions of the triangle, we all have messed up lives, right? So it's funny, if you go down, like, there is a documentary called The Bridgewater Triangle. And if you go down the list of the people who are in that, I'm thinking of the panel that we did right after the movie, the documentary came out. We're all divorced, right? We're all reaching this, like, weird, like, stump creek, you know, in our professional paranormal lives and things like that. Like, it wants you to come in. It wants you to know it. It wants people to hear the whispers of it, but it doesn't want to reveal itself. So in the past, we'll say 15 years, I've probably had at least 200 production companies approach me wanting to do either an episode of their show about the Bridgewater Triangle, or a whole thing about the Bridgewater Triangle, and it never works. It never works. I mean, I'm talking 200 approaches, and there are people who have more than me, right? Because they're still up there. 200 approaches, and it never comes on television. There's, I think, 3 episodes on television, because it hides its secret. So if I were to take a step back and be like, okay, what is something that tempts you, but doesn't want to, that's a creature, right? That's an animal itself. So I think all of these little facets of the Bridgewater Triangle, be they the ghosts, the zombies, the Bigfoot sightings, the UFOs, all that stuff is just the theater of the belly of this beast that has a consciousness and has a really, really dark desire.
Has this been something that people in your part of the country have known about forever? Because I haven't been familiar with it, but then I live in the middle of the U.S.
First of all, thank you very much for calling Massachusetts still my part of the world.
That's true.
Even though I don't live there.
That's true.
I'm going back soon. You know, I'm you know, I only have 4 more years left of my Florida sentence that I can go back home. The deal is that there are people inside the triangle who've never heard of the triangle, right? So it's not like people are walking around with like, "Hi, I survived the triangle." You know, like that it's like a known
They're not
thing.
Wearing the t-shirt.
They're not wearing the t-shirts, or they don't have the buttons. However, the way the triangle has kind of evolved is, like I said, Lauren Coleman did his thing, and it was always kind of in the background. And then in the late 90s, early 2000s, I started my website, which at that time was called Massachusetts Paranormal Crossroads. And I had this book, 1994, this amazing book. Even if you're not from New England, like, it's a must read. It's called New England Ghost Files. And it was by this anthropologist from Harvard who has since passed, which is its own conspiracy and its own weird thing having to do with this guy. And what I didn't know at the time was that he was a reporter. In addition to that, he wrote like a little weekly column for the Rehoboth. I can't remember what it's called, the Rehoboth Journal or whatever it is, the little paper there. And he would publish some of these ghost stories that he got from people in the town. Well, when I went out there, one Halloween, we took a whole bunch of stories from that book and we went out and we legend tripped all of them. Like, we visited all of them. And if it says to do this, we did this. We visited probably in one night, 7 or 8 extremely haunted places in one town. Right. And when I started putting what we had done and our experiences up on my website, it was crazy the responses I was getting, right? Because people were searching on the internet, because that was one of the first, Massachusetts ghost sites, right? I was getting all these emails, getting all these hits on it. And I'm like, oh my word, like the rest of my site, which was not about that area, would get no traction, but that stuff would. What happened was I then started going out more in that area, and I reconnected with a friend of mine who I didn't even know was into the paranormal at all. I should say, he's a UFO and cryptid investigator. We'd worked with each other for years and didn't know we were both doing the same thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, that we weren't just making, food at a restaurant, that we actually at that night were doing this. And if you ask me, it's him and I publishing our stuff in the late 90s and early 2000s, which made the Bridgewater Triangle start to gain even more momentum. So now, fast forward to 2025, I think people who are inside of the triangle know about it. People who are in New England definitely know about it as well. And then there's a lot of people around the country who do know about it. I get, emails, and I get questions from every single state in the union, pretty much, including Kansas. And so I think it's one of those things where it makes so much sense, and it's so much like, it's almost like an extreme example of what people are experiencing in whatever state that they're in, that they eventually, through the things they search for, find the Bridgewater Triangle. I'm not saying that, you're not in the know. I'm just saying,
You can say that. I do not know everything, Chris.
No. Yeah. Like, I think, and of course, there's one huge documentary about it, which is, very, very, very popular, that people reference all the time. Like, oh, do you remember when you said this? And I'm like, did I say that 15 years ago? Okay. Yeah. All right. I think when people start to connect things in wherever they are, the theory and the idea of a triangle comes up. And then they look to other triangles that are infamous. And the number one's got to be obviously the Bermuda Triangle, which, really the Bridgewater Triangle was named after that. And then you've got, like, there's one in Michigan, there's one in Alaska. And then it's the Bridgewater Triangle. And of them, I think the Bridgewater Triangle, other than the Bermuda Triangle, is probably the most well-known.
I found the whole concept of this triangle fascinating, because I think regionally every place has its stories.
Yeah.
I can't think of like what Bigfoot would be here in Kansas, but like in Missouri, it's the Momo monster or something.
Yeah,
like
Momo.
That. They don't talk about it in terms of that area has the Momo monster. It also has UFOs, and it has other odd cryptids and pugwudgies and all these various and ghostly hauntings. That's what I found really interesting about this. It has everything.
I think what makes it different, right? And so I can't speak on the cryptids and the UFOs because I think those kinds of stories are pretty straightforward for the most part in terms of like, here's the story, here's what witnesses said, there you go. Mm-hmm. You don't get a lot of emotionally, how did that impact you when you're talking about, you know, a Thunderbird, right? It might be, I was scared, I felt this, but it's pretty much the mythology is built on experiences, right? And you don't, you know, no matter how much you want to try, and I've done it here with people in Florida on the trail of Skunk Ape, which is our version of Bigfoot, right? It's hit or miss, right? Whereas a haunted location, you can approach it from so many different ways, and you might get something. And it's in my opinion, the art of investigating is much less precise, right? But when I would do these stories, when I would get people's stories, and I always use this example, and so it was probably in the book you read, right? If there are two people in a bar and they get into a fight and one shoots the other one, and then 20 years later, there's now a ghost story about the guy who got shot, right? And he moves the bar mugs and he does this and that, and, you know, pull up a buy a drink yourself and I'll tell you the story, right? And so you do that. There's an explanation. There's a background story. There's a reason for it. That is almost never the case in a Bridgewater Triangle story. The ghosts that are there have this context, and maybe there's a history attached to it, but it doesn't make sense, right? And more times than not, as you start looking into it, you find that the activity itself has existed for however long, and people have more created folklore about why it goes on, and you can't verify that that kind of stuff happened, right? But there's a lot of this kind of stuff, which is inside the Bridgewater Triangle. And this is what Dark Woods really was looking at. Inside the Bridgewater Triangle, the towns in the Bridgewater Triangle, there at the time, at least when I was doing my research, there was a higher level of divorce in that area. There was a higher level of teen suicide. There was a higher level of mental health disorder being reported. Highway 24, which is essentially the backbone of the Bridgewater Triangle, like goes through the whole thing. It was by leaps and bounds in Massachusetts, which has, you know, Massachusetts drivers who had the most fatalities per car accident. Mm. Bridgewater State Hospital, the mental health facility there, which became infamous because of its abuse of patients. And there was a documentary that covered the whole thing that was so horrific. It's scarier than anything you could watch having to do with ghosts or monsters. At one point, the suicide rate inside that hospital was 10 times higher than the national average for other mental health facilities. You had all of this crazy stuff. The number of serial killers who have found the Bridgewater Triangle to be their home, right? So the number of connected and yet not unsolved murders where somewhere in the triangle was the dumping ground is ridiculously high. So it seems to be this dark energy that emanates, attracts, cycles through. And you don't necessarily have that in some place like the Bennington Triangle, which is a few hundred miles away from it. And you don't have it in the Tampa Triangle. Like I always tell my students, for those people who don't know, I'm an English teacher. And so when I'm teaching them to write essays and things, I'm always like, the most stable or the first real stable thing you have is a tripod, right? Like is a three-legged table or whatever it might be. You've got to make three arguments, right? It's the same kind of thing here. If you have one point, it's a haunting, right? If you have 2 points, it's a straight line. If you have 3 points, you now have something that pulses, right? You now have some kind of stability. You now have triangulation, literally. And so that makes what happens inside that triangle more valid. And that's the kind of stuff that I think, you know, we search for that in our paranormal, because it helps to make sense of something that doesn't make sense. But in the Bridgewater Triangle, what's inside there is unique from the stuff that's even, you know, 40, 50 miles outside of it.
Now, there's a lot of different, obviously, because it's a pretty good sized geographical area. So there's a lot of different things to explore within it. But it sounds like one of the, especially with the cryptids activity and stuff and the UFOs, that's this Hockomock Swamp. But it was 17,000 acres. So it's a densely wooded area.
Yeah.
Obviously swampy. That's in the name.
Hence, it translates to the place where spirits lie, or the place where spirits are, or, you know, if it's the later translations, once it got its reputation was, you know, its modern reputation was this place where dark spirits are, which is not what it translates to literally. But it's, yeah, it's definitely this place that is primeval, right? And primordial, I should say. And, you know, it's, you can go in there and you can feel as if you've gone back in time, because so much of the Hockomock is, you know, there's no kind of civilization there. You know, there's no kind of making things. There's no kind of, you know, businesses that are set up there. Every once in a while, and this might be, you know, as we're recording this, they might change this, right? They've tried time and time again to put the trains, it's called the T in Massachusetts, to put the commuter rail through through the Hockomock. And that has, you know, every once in a while, like every 5 years, I get some newspaper that's like, what do you think will happen when they put the trains in, you know? So it's really not developed, and therefore, because it hasn't been developed, and it's got these islands, and even the islands themselves that are within the swamp, they seem almost as if they're, these islands are sometimes their own little worlds, right? And so it does seem like going back in time. And so that that leaves for a lot of creepy things to go on. But then also, you, whenever you're dealing with something, you know, think about waking up at, you know, 3 a.m, going outside, you're walking your dog or whatever, and you hear the strangest noises in the world, especially if you don't usually walk your dog at 3 o'clock. And so your mind starts to race. So I think there's a really strong combination of weird things that are in there and then things that people are just not used to. And so it automatically, they start to have these, you know, visions of monsters there.
Well, and I read, like, they talk about Bigfoot sightings and gigantic raptors like Mothmen, and one, because this gave me the creeps.
Demon,
like,
dogs.
Yeah, demon dogs and giant snakes. And I'm like, the Bigfoot, I never know where I fall on that, because I've never seen a Bigfoot. So I don't know,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I don't have experience there. But the giant snakes, that kind of makes some sense to me. Maybe
right.
Even
I
demon
mean, it
dogs.
Would, right? You know, it's... And it's of all that stuff, like, you know, if you talk to Lauren Coleman, he'll be like, the greatest moment in cryptozoology history. And I'm probably paraphrasing, he would be pissed that I would say this, but like, I've heard him say something like this is like when they discovered the giant squid and when they discovered like the red-haired orangutan, because these things were previously thought to not exist. And that's what cryptozoology is, right? It's a study of hidden or unknown creatures, right? It's not, we think cryptozoology is a study of things that don't exist, right? Like running after things that potentially exist, but it's really the study of these things that we have not yet proven, but they've left something there, right? And so Bigfoot investigating and Bigfoot, you know, hunting, or those seem like very noble pursuits, because you're actually looking with very little evidence. You're trying to prove that something exists, and that something is there that people haven't seen yet. And kind of because of that, for me as a folklorist, I'm like, great, awesome. Let it never be found. Because then the lore can be what we want it to be, which is why cryptozoologists don't like me.
Well, when I was thinking about these giant snakes, that makes sense, because in a lot of rivers, you know, you have regular sized catfish and people fish for them all the time. But where I live, they go out and do this thing they call noodling. And there's these giant catfish that live in these rivers that are like 100 pounds.
Yeah.
That's not normal.
But, not normal.
But
yeah,
I've actually
exactly, like,
seen the pictures of them. And I know people who have gone out and done this years ago when I was much younger. I never have done it. But I could see how in an environment like the Hockomock Swamp, how there could be snakes that have gotten hugely, bizarrely large.
Yes, maybe, but what the heck is noodling? You can't just throw the term noodling out there.
Okay. Regional. So what that is that, so people...
I'm imagining some kind of water version of cow tipping. That's why I'm like kind of like...
So, and it has nothing to do with noodles, but it is, people will go into these rivers once, because a lot of times out here, you go through a drought or a dry season, and the rivers kind of, they dry up a little bit. People will go in and wrestle these catfish is basically how they catch them, because you can't get them with just your regular fishing pole. You would never reel in a 90-pound catfish. And so these people will actually go in and wrestle them. That's noodling.
So when you said noodling, the other part of me was kind of thinking like, oh, something romantic, like grabbing them. So there you go.
Canoodling.
I guess it's kind of on the romantic side of what I thought it would be. So
I always think it's kind of sad. I'm like, this ginormous catfish has lived out there forever. Let it go. Like, hats off. And they're just, you can't eat them because they're too old, you know. And I think they usually do just let them go. It's a picture. What are you going to do with it?
Right. I mean, you know.
But so when I read the giant snakes, it totally creeps me out, the thought of a giant snake, but I could see how that could happen.
Yeah. And you know, with the giant snake, if, as far as I know, and anyone is free and willing, you know, to call me out on this, because I am not the cryptozoology master. It's all in context for me, for what I do. I'm pretty sure there haven't been that many of those. And I think the sighting, that's always, it's an excavation that was going on, I think in the 1920s or 1930s, where this snake was discovered, and it hasn't been seen since. And it hasn't been, but it's a great example of what the triangle does, because not only does it completely make sense, but because the fundamental historical details of the triangle have been repeated and repeated and repeated, it seems as if you just go in there, there's just these gigantic snakes all over the place. And I'm pretty sure it's only been like one sighting that happened briefly during an excavation, you know, 100 years ago. And yet it's taken on the weight. Now, all right, great. And there's even the way that it's described. I was just talking to this with this about a researcher who, you know, was one of the most in-depth researchers. And I'm going to mispronounce his name. I'm going to say it anyway. David Goslin. And I know I'm saying it wrong. But he is, whenever I need to know anything about, hey, listen, is it? I came across something about a sea serpent in Nova Scotia in, you know, 1385. And he'll be like, oh, yeah, like that was the incident. And he just knows that stuff. Anything about H.P. Lovecraft, horror movie sites, like set sites. And he knows about cryptozoology, especially in Massachusetts and then here in Florida. And him and I were discussing, because he was asking me a question. I said, do we have any verification, right? Like, everyone cites this report that happened and this thing that happened. Where's the information? Like, where's the newspaper article that talks about it pre, you know, Boston Globe talking about it in the 1980s? Like, do we have this? Do we know this exists? Or have people just been talking about it so long that it's become facts, even though we don't have the documentation of it? And he's like, you know what? I can't think of when I've ever seen like it published or picture or, you know, a photo of it. It's just been one of those things that people have said for so long that it has solidified. So I think you know, living in between the Everglades and the Ocala National Forest here in Florida, I know big snakes. They're not anywhere nearly as big as that one is rumored to be, but I think that they're a lot more factual than that one is.
That makes sense. Because it's kind of like, that's why I'm a little on the fence with cryptids, because I don't have any experience with them. I have experience with a haunted house, but I don't have any experience with a cryptid. But then you see kind of the same photos frequently, and I'm like, where's the rest of the information? Like,
So, and you know what? Like, I know a lot of cryptozoologists who I would make the best man at my wedding. Like, they are truthful people. They are people who look at something a very specific way. And so I don't want to disparage the cryptozoologists mm-hmm. and the Bigfoot people around the world. Like, I just think that, you know, that particular snake story, I think, is more of a fish story than a snake story.
Yeah, I liked that. That was good.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. I tied it back into noodling.
And that wraps up part one of our conversation with Christopher Balzano about the Bridgewater Triangle. You can buy his books on Amazon or get them directly from Chris at trippingonlegends.com. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advance episodes, everything commercial free, then you can become a Gravekeeper. Sign up on Apple Podcasts, where you can try it for 3 days free, or you could go to patreon.com/thegravetalks. I'm Carol Hughes, and for all of us at The Grave Talks, thank you for listening.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.